Raleigh, thank you so much. I tell you what I'll do. I'll turn this off and let's go with this. And believe it or not, we did a sound check before the service. Wow, to look around and see you today, what a gift from God that you are here. I concur with Dr. Pitts. Thank you so very much for braving the weather and coming out. I have loved this passage of Scripture for some time. When I pastored in Walhalla, South Carolina, there were times that I could sense the Spirit of God so palpable. And at times there would be two or three or four or five of us. We would go toward the mountains and we would pray. One of those in whom I would go with was Doyle Stansel, Rick Bumgardner's uncle. Doyle was kind of my Holy Spirit partner. He was attuned to the work of the Spirit. He loved Jesus Christ. And another friend was Gordon Corbett, a close friend. And so on one occasion, we decided to go up to this little place down from the church, up the way, called Lake Jamaica. Years before there were the big lakes, this is where people would go to boat and to have fun. But it had seen its heydays, but it was still a beautiful area. So we got out of the car and we walked into the deep recesses of the woods. And Doyle Stansel was quoting these verses: "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." And I was amen in every one of those phrases. You could sense God real. And then Doyle stopped. And he said, "By the way, John, there's a lot of wild hogs up here." I said, "Doyle, what do you mean?" He said, "Oh, these woods are loaded with wild hogs." And he said, "I forgot to bring my pistol with me." At that point, I wondered, was I going to depend more on the Word of God, or did I want that pistol to take care of those hogs? Have you ever been there, quoting the Word of God, and a situation come up and you turn toward another source as first responder? We've had quite a storm, haven't we? They estimate that Florence could dump a staggering 18 trillion gallons of water over a week on four states. It is reported that 30 inches of rain fell in Swansboro on the North Carolina coast. There have been several deaths already reported. More than 19,000 people are in shelters in North Carolina, 6,400 in South Carolina, and 400 in Virginia. More than 500 people needed help in high waters in New Bern and Jacksonville, North Carolina. 900,000 outages as of Saturday morning, with Duke Energy anticipating 1 million to 3 million homes and businesses losing power. 2,400 flights have been canceled, and meteorologists estimate that somewhere between $10 billion and $60 billion in economic damages. We sit here today grateful to God that it looks like the brunt of the storm has passed us. But what about those. Who've experienced great loss. Where's God? What do we do in the midst of the storm? This past week, one of our members who's grown up and married and had children recently had a daughter born in his family, Garrett and Libby Marler. Beautiful little baby girl, on the outside looked so healthy, but on the inside, the doctors say, and these are specialists, that she has one of the most damaged hearts they have ever seen. So if they do surgery, she may not make it. If they don't do surgery, the question is, how long? What is the storm that you are facing today in your life? Is it financial? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? It seems like storms come like Florence. Instead of giving rain on the outside, it gives storm on the inside. What do we do in the midst of the storm? In the text that Riley read, we're at a significant transition in the life of God's people. For they had been in captivity for at least 70 years. And there had been two ways to respond to captivity. The psalmist in 137 put it this way: listen at the realness and rawness of this text. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. They were prisoners. They were taken there. So they sat there and wept. When we remembered Zion, that is the great city of Jerusalem, their center of their universe, there on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors ask us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing in the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? They were tempted in the foreign land to withdraw, to be angry, and to wish only evil upon their oppressors. And then Jeremiah came along, prophet, still in the homeland, and he writes a letter, and it goes something like this: yes, you are in captivity, but I want you to go ahead and marry, take wives and husbands and become family. I want you to plant crops, and I want you to wish for prosperity, not only for yourselves, but for everyone else. For if they prosper, you prosper. There were two ways of dealing with life in the midst of the storm. And so we turn to this text. In Isaiah chapters 1 through 39, we see a God of judgment. In Isaiah 40 through 66, new names appear for God, and one of them is Savior. A new name for God. There is judgment and there is salvation. Both of these are the real sides of God. So, what would Isaiah say to the people of God who are anticipating going home, but they're still in the midst of the storm? The first thing he says is never forget who you are to God. Let me repeat that. There will be times that you wonder if God has forsaken you. There will be times you wonder where God is. And the prophet, speaking on behalf of God, says this: He created you. He formed you. He redeemed you. He even summoned you. And a little later in the passage, he says, "You are precious. You are honored, and you are loved." That's how he begins this passage, telling us who we are to God: created, formed, redeemed, summoned, precious, honored, and loved. That is who we are to God. But what about the times when we look around and it doesn't seem to be this way? I want you to follow me closely on this point. Lean into what I am about to say. Sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. At a church level, at a national level, and at an individual level. In this text, what got them into captivity is that they had rebelled continuously against God, not heeding His word to come to Him, so God brought judgment. Now that's understandable. Because for there to be love, there must be judgment. For there to be judgment, there must be love. But what about in cases like little Meredith? What about in the cases where Hurricane Florence is raining down havoc? Is God some killjoy? Does He not love the children? Does He not care about His created order? I have wrestled with that. Have you? I know you have. When I sin, it affects you. When you sin, it affects me. When we sin as a body of Christ, it affects the world. And so we live in a world that is so broken that things happen to people. Things affect people. And you say, why did I deserve that? It is the nature and the cause that sin can affect others. And within families in particularly, when sin goes unconfessed, I believe it mutates. I can't explain exactly why things happen to precious Meredith. But I know in a broken world where even creation groans for redemption, even the created order knows that there's got to be something beyond this. My sin affects you. Your sin affects me, and from there it mutates. But here's the news of this text. God will make a way through the storm. Now, God is not through with you yet while you're in the midst of the storm. He's not through with me. Where you are is not where you will end up. This text and scripture is replete with this teaching that you are being redeemed. Where you are is a pic, a snapshot. The video is not yet complete. The story is still in motion. The truth of this text sounds a clarion call that God will guide you safely home. He will gather you up. From the east and the west, the north and the south, you may be scattered, but God will bring us home. And nothing will get in the way ultimately. No river, no stream, no fire. God will deliver. God is God, and God will deliver. He will keep His word. He will bring His people home. God still speaks. Many of you know the writer Max Lucado. Max has a way of popularizing a lot of deep theological truths and making them accessible to us, doesn't he? He's also getting older, and he realizes that one day he will walk the way that he has walked so many with his people, and that is the way of death. And so he was meeting on one occasion, pondering the reality of death with a cemetery director. And he said, all of a sudden, I had a crazy idea. He said, I want to record a message for my tombstone. Can that be done? And the cemetery director said, I'll check and I'll get back with you. Within a couple of days, he gave the affirmative, you could do that. And so Max Lucado sat down and wrote. And here is what he said he might leave on his tombstone. It will say above the button, press for a word from Max. And then he will say in his voice, thanks for coming by. Sorry you miss me. I'm not here. I'm home. I'm finally home. God's not through with you yet. The storm is not the last word, for the worst thing that ever happens to you in this world as a believer will never be the last thing that happens to you. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, as we come to this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, that you speak and that you give us the wisdom to hear and to respond. For storms are howling on the outside. Storms are fomenting
on the inside. And sometimes, Lord, we need to hear you say, like you did in this text, "Do not fear, for I've got this. I'm making a way through the wilderness, through the rivers, through the waters. I'm summoning you by name, and you'll get there." No doubt with some scars, but you'll be home. Finally, home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 519. You may come for any reason whatsoever. It may be to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today in the midst of a storm, could be your salvation. Today may be a day for rededication. Today may be a day to come and join this fellowship. This altar is open for people like you and me to come and pray to God and pour out our hearts to God. You may need to place a storm on the altar today. You may need to come and pray. Whatever it is, God is here. And together, we can go to him. Let's stand and sing.